This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now here's your host, Mark Shuttleworth.
It is Rock Talk. My name is Mark Shuttleworth, and it's our great pleasure this morning to be joined by Sister Grace from the House of Mercy in the city of Rochester. Sister Grace, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
How are you doing? You doing all right?
Oh yeah, thank you.
They keep you running around, huh? They keep you busy over there at the House of Mercy.
Oh my God. It's busy 24 hours, 7/24, or 24/7.
Either way, both ways, coming and going.
Yeah, both ways, right.
Now, I was just down there with Chuck Kelly, our morning guy here on WLGZ recently, and we got the tour. And I've been there before. He hadn't been there before. We got the tour of the facility, and you guys are – I mean, you got a lot going on there. There's a renovation project going on, I know, with involving showers and bathrooms.
But
you guys can't shut down while all that's going on. You still got
going. No, it's the men's bathroom that's being renovated. And so they're using the ladies' room, and the women are using our regular bathrooms here that are available to anybody. So it's kind of been, mixed up, but that's okay. We're getting through it fine.
Yeah.
You know, we thought maybe there'd be a problem, but it's working out fine.
Yeah, you guys are good at working around obstacles. I'll tell you that. You guys can make anything happen. We're talking to Sister Grace about House of Mercy. Speaking of obstacles, how about this COVID-19 thing? How did that impact what you guys do at the House of Mercy?
Well, it limited our numbers, which bothers me. When it first happened, of course, it really hit us hard. And we were hoping our people wouldn't be affected by it, but right away it was like, we were fine for about the first few months. And then once it hit, and one by one, our people were falling, and so that lasted for a while, of course, and it broke our hearts to have our people leave here. And one man, when he was leaving, he says, well, will we be able to come back? Well, that was what we wanted, for them to come back. And now, they've come back, but because of the COVID is not over, we still have to social distance. So our numbers are cut down some. Our happiest day will be when this is all over and we'll have all our numbers back here again.
Yeah. One thing, when COVID hit, they could stop a lot of things, but one thing you can't stop is homelessness and those folks in need. I mean, you can't say, we can't serve you for, 3 weeks, come back. It just doesn't happen like that.
No, with the homeless, we have to help them right on the spot.
Yeah.
And if we don't, because if we don't, then they're left hanging and, they need help immediately.
Yeah.
And, we're used to that. And we want to help them. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
And the House of Mercy is a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And, we believe in radical compassion. That means reaching out to the least of our brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Tell us, that's a new, is it a new campaign you guys have going on, radical compassion? Tell us about that. What is it? Well, you told us what it means, but how did it come about and what does it look like? What are the hands and feet on that thing like?
Well, radical compassion really means accepting anybody, everybody, where they are. No expectations. We accept and respect them just the way they are. It's accepting a person, no matter what problems the person has, accepting the person with love and radical compassion and understanding and knowing that this is the way Jesus treated all the people that were around him. If he saw somebody that needed help, immediately the person was helped. If the person was blind, he gave the person sight. If the person was hungry, the feeding of the 5,000. So what we try to do here is, live the life of Jesus here at the House of Mercy. And his life was one of radical, radical compassion because he gave his life for all of us. And so that's what we try to do here, is just help people with whatever needs they have and whatever it takes to help them. We'll go to any length and every length to make sure that they're well taken care of. We won't leave anybody hanging.
So tell us, you started, we're talking with Sister Grace from House of Mercy here in Rochester. You started House of Mercy decades ago. It started on a cold winter's night here in Rochester.
Right, 1985. We opened up the House of Mercy October 1st, 1985. And that was because, I don't know if you know the story, but sometimes I'd be driving around at night going to meetings and I would find homeless men on the street and I couldn't pass them by. I would pick them up and take them to homeless shelters And it was shocking to me to find that the homeless shelters refused them. And then there was this really bad winter, when the winter was so bad that some of the churches opened up their basements for the homeless. And I thought, well, that's great now because the homeless will have places to go. And I was driving down the street one night in a cold, wintry night, extremely cold. And I saw a man walking, trudging through the snow. And I thought, well, he's going to freeze to death. And I saw he was heading towards one of the churches that was allowing people in. And this was at nighttime. And I saw two or three men standing outside the doors waiting for the church doors to open. And I thought, it's so cold, why don't they open up earlier tonight, which they didn't do. So I picked up the three men, the men, and put them in my car to keep them warm. And the church door still didn't open, so we drove around the city, kept them warm, and came back and went down into the church basement. And I said, I have homeless men, would you take them in? And they already have people in there, homeless in there. And to my shock, they said, no, they didn't have room. But I saw that there was plenty of room. And I knew they really wanted to. They could take in two or three or four more. And I begged them to take the men in, and they kept refusing. So I asked them if they would call another church and see if they had room, and they did. The church said, no, they didn't have room. So I didn't want them to call another church because I was afraid over the telephone it's too easy to refuse. And I thought, let me take them myself to this other church that's supposed to be open. So I went to another church. And went down to the church basement. I said, I have a homeless man, would you take them in? And they said, no, they didn't have room. And again, I saw there was plenty of room for them. You know, church basements are huge. And but by this time I had had, I said to them, well, I'm not leaving unless you take them in. And they didn't want me hanging around there. And I would have stayed there all night if I had to. But they didn't want me hanging around. So they took the men in. And that's when I went home that night. I thought, you know, no room in the inn. And I thought there's got to be a place in Rochester that's open 24/7. They will take in homeless people or anybody in need any time of night or day. And I thought it was a great idea, but I have no money. And then I remembered I'm a Sister of Mercy. And I thought, well, I'll go to the Sisters of Mercy and ask them for money. And they submitted a proposal, and they gave me $20,000 for the year and said I would have to be on my own and raise money myself, which I had never, ever done before, but I didn't want to tell them that. I took the money and started looking, and I found I wanted a huge place because I knew there were many homeless on the streets, but I couldn't find a huge place, so I thought, well, I found one small house on Central Park, and I thought, well, let me take this house and start with this anyways. And, of course, a small house was filled immediately. In their first month, in October 1985, over 600 people came to the House of Mercy for help. Wow. Now, I'm thinking of homeless, but people came to me with many other problems. You know, they were being evicted. They didn't have money for rent. They couldn't afford RG&E, and they were in the cold. People were not seeing doctors. They didn't have medical insurance, all kinds of problems. And so immediately, and they had no income. So immediately, we had to get into all kinds of advocacy for our people. So it was more than just a homeless shelter. We were involved with a total community. And many people that we helped in the community came back and said to us, I want to help you, which allowed me to keep the House of Mercy door open all day long, even when I went out, you know, to do advocacy, which I wanted. We'd have coffee, you know, and food on the table, and people would come in and get coffee, and they walked down the street with the coffee, and someone would say, where'd you get your coffee? And they said, House of Mercy. So we had more and more people coming to us. So right away, you know, we over 600 people the first month, and the numbers grew, 700, 1,000, and I knew the place was too small. So we eventually moved across the street 2 years later into a larger building, and then that building wasn't large enough. So we found another larger building on Hudson Avenue in 1994 and moved there. And our numbers still kept increasing. We had no beds. We had just couches and chairs. And, you know, the place was filled with homeless people and hungry people and people with needs all day long. It was really a 24/7 job. And so people kept coming. And we thought many times the lounge would be just filled with homeless people. And we had to the couches and chairs, and then we had to put people in the hallways, and they got filled up, and the kitchen was filled up with homeless people, and we had to be careful how we stepped around at night. The numbers just kept increasing. And then in 2014, we moved here to our biggest building, and we have 82 beds, and we've had up to 149 homeless people here. With the COVID impacting us, we had to limit our numbers, which really hurts, but we're hoping that, you know, this ends so we can get back to our large numbers again.
Yeah.
But again, we don't refuse people. We make sure there's a place for them to stay. And if there is no place to stay, then we just keep them.
We're speaking with Sister Grace from House of Mercy. Not only do you provide shelter, but you provide food as well. When we were there recently, we went through your kitchen. My goodness me. The guy who runs that kitchen is amazing. For the food that he makes, it smells so good, looks so good.
Oh, the food is delicious. Every meal is very, very good, and we love it. Our people love it. We serve three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And people in the community can come and get meals, too. And we have snacks in between, so we're always feeding our people. And the donations we get, you know, food to help us really is a great help, because we serve the three meals a day and have snacks, and people are hungry. And sometimes, you know, they'll want two, you know, they'll want two plates, and we'll give it to them. And during this COVID, because they can't allow everybody in because of the numbers, when we serve the plates at the door, people are coming to the door, and we're giving out plates of food, really, three times a day. Our people are hungry. And I've noticed, too, that, you know, when the people come to the door, they're asking for food. And what I notice is they don't even have, you know, in the cold weather, they don't have winter jackets, they don't have boots, they don't have gloves. So it's more than food that they need. But when they come to the door, they're asking for food. And we see the other needs. So we try to supply them with, you know, the jackets and boots and gloves and things like that to keep them warm. And I'll tell you, when it's raining outside, we have to bring them in because they are drenched. Mm. When it comes to our doors, so many of them are just drenched. And I'm glad we have clothing here, although we can use more, you know, men's clothing, like pants and tops and winter jackets, and because it's getting colder now. But when people come here, they're coming not only for they might ask for food, but they need more than food. And so we see the needs, and we try to meet the needs of all of our people that come to the door or come in.
We've got a great team of people there as well. House of Mercy, we're speaking to Sister Grace, who started it way back in 1986, I think you said.
And 85.
I don't know, so you're short a year. You earned every one, 1985, and still going strong today. Now, you guys also have a food cupboard there as well, so people can come.
Yeah.
And I know you've got there's some wonderful organizations in town that donate their food to you to keep that cupboard going.
Oh, yes, we get donations constantly of food and clothing. And, you know, it's the donations we get from the community that really keep us going. Whereas we don't have to go out and buy it. We, you know, it's donated. It's wonderful. So it keeps our food cupboard, you know, full. And we can, when people come in, they can have a meal. But if they want to take meals home with them, food home with them, if they have families, then we have a food cupboard here. And we have someone working there. And the food is given to them, not only in bags, but in boxes. Because some people come and they have large families. So we need to keep our food pantry full, too, to be sure there's always food there for anyone who's coming in, any time of night or day. And I always tell this story because it'll stay with me forever. It was nighttime after 9 or 10, and I saw a man just standing in our community room, and he looked puzzled. So I went up to him, and I asked him if he was homeless, and he said no. He was an older man. And he said, but I'm hungry. And just the way he said, I'm hungry, you know, really grabbed at me. And so I went into the kitchen. I gave him a hot plate, asked if he wanted another second hot plate. He said no. And then as I was putting the second plate back in the oven, I heard these muffled sounds, and he burst out crying. He was trying to say thank you, and he couldn't say thank you because he broke down in tears. so happy to get their food.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful we were open 24/7 because I thought, where would he have gone to get their food, you know, at nighttime if we had not been open?
We talk about homelessness, and there are people who don't have a place to live, and then there's different degrees where there's people that they have enough, they have an apartment or a place where their family lives, but money is so tight. Maybe they're even working a job, but the money is so tight that they need just a little bit of food from House of Mercy, and you guys are there with your food cupboard to help them out.
Right, right. Some people are allowed to stay in some people's homes, so they're like couch surfing. But they can stay there, sleep there, but then during the day they're back out again and they need food and they can come to us for the food. So they might have a place to stay at night, but they'll come to us for the food.
Yeah.
And then usually what happens is after a period of time they're put out and then they come here and they're homeless. You know, we've seen a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, we here at Legends 102.7, we are excited to be partnering with you once again for our Day of Hope this year. It's coming up Saturday, December 4th, and we'll be broadcasting from Eid Volkswagen in East Rochester. And we'll be asking listeners to come down to Eid and make donations to House of Mercy.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we're going to fill up as vans, as many as we can, with donations for House of Mercy. Now, do you know what items that we're looking for the Day of Hope to help you guys out?
Well, you know what, of course we always need food, but you know, we need winter coats,
mm-hmm.
we need boots, we need gloves, we need warm apparel right now because the weather's cold. So we need, especially men, we have more men than women, so we need more men's items than we do women, although we do need some women. But we really need heavy, heavy winter coats, gloves, scarves, hats, new ones are preferred. New clothing is preferred.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do have people that need them. And, you know, we give out the clothing. I'm so glad we have it here, but then we run out. And I'm always grateful when we get more donations of clothing.
Yeah.
It's a constant need day in and day out. And as I said, even 24 hours, people are going to come in at midnight and need a coat or, you know, be drenched in the rain. Since we're open 24/7. So the need is a constant need, and it's a, you know, 24/7 need.
Yeah.
And we give out everything we have. It's amazing how, you know, the clothing goes. And I'm always so happy when we have it to give to them. And, you know, when people come in and they need clothing, and the clothing they have is so worn out, or, you know, the sneakers are wet and old and torn, and they have no jackets. And to see them leave here, mm-hmm. with a winter coat and gloves and new sneakers, you know, and socks. Now, some don't even have socks. It's such a difference. And I'm always so grateful when they come in and they have nothing and they leave and they're all dressed up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when I go out and look in our shelter and see the homeless, sometimes I have to cry myself. And I've been in this, since 1985, and still the tears come,
yeah.
You know, because our people are in such need.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, our Day of Hope, Saturday, December 4th, a chance for you to donate to House of Mercy. We'll be at Eid Volkswagen in East Rochester. We'll be there in the showroom. We'll have the truck out front, and you'll be able to fill that truck up with your donations for House of Mercy. Coats, like Sister Grace said, are a big push. Always a big need for winter coats. Maybe you could pick up a couple of new coats next time you're out at the store and bring those by and donate those. Of course, cash is always welcome as well. You can always make cash donations with check and whatnot during our Day of Hope. Saturday, December 4th at Eid Volkswagen in East Rochester. Sister Grace, anything you want to, as we wrap up here, anything you want to make sure our audience knows about the House of Mercy, or maybe ways they can get involved, or what, or anything like that?
Okay, well, you know, we're open 24/7. We have a kitchen, and we serve food, so if people want to volunteer, we have a volunteer coordinator. They can help in the kitchen, or we have a desk where we, you know, people coming in are received. We can use, you know, people to help us at the desk, help with cleaning. But we have a volunteer coordinator. If people want to help out, they can call our number, 585-2259, and talk to, we'll connect them with the volunteer coordinator, and they can come in and volunteer.
Yeah.
And people that come and volunteer really love it.
I'm sure.
The number 546-2580, I gave my cell phone.
Oh. Well, all right. So what's the number they should call again?
585-546-2580.
Okay.
I'm always giving out my cell phone.
I bet you are. You are that kind of person. I bet you're always giving out your cell phone number.
Yeah. That's why it's always ringing.
You're a popular lady, that's for sure. You got a huge heart, and we're grateful for that decision you made on the winter night back in 1985, and all the lives you've impacted since then, and still going strong. We encourage you to make a donation Saturday, December 4th, at our Day of Hope, Eid Volkswagen in East Rochester, and we'll get those things right into the hands of Sister Grace and her team at House of Mercy here in Rochester to impact those folks in need in our community. Sister Grace, it is always a joy to chat with you. Thank you so much for your time. And
thank you. And I want to thank everybody for their donations, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for your time. Great to chat with you today, Sister Grace.
Okay. Good time chatting with you, too. We'll talk again.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.